Amen. Our text tonight is Numbers chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Numbers chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. In the discussion on speaking in tongues in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul uses a trumpet to illustrate a point. His point is that understanding is imperative in church services. If tongues were used for the experience only, it was inappropriate use of tongues. Unfortunately, there's an awful lot of use of tongues today for the experience only, and they're just not biblical. Tongues today aren't biblical at all, but that in particular. But even in the first century, when tongues was a legitimate gift at the time, if it was used only for the experience, it was out of order. Sounds that cannot be understood are of no value. He says in 1 Corinthians 14, even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? That's an interesting reference to the context of our study tonight, Numbers chapter 10. He says in the chapter there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. In other words, somebody speaking a language I don't understand. Have you ever had that experience? Even here in the United States, you can go to Walmart and hear several different languages. And you have no idea what the people are saying. And you hope they don't know what you're saying. That's just a joke. Not really. You do want to communicate with them. Verse 12 of the chapter, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Each instrument, he says, makes a distinct sound. Each sound of each instrument communicates a particular thing. In a larger context, the ability to understand what one hears has spiritual significance, eternal implications. So we go to Numbers chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. God commissioned the making of two silver trumpets. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver. Now these wouldn't be the kind of trumpets that you play, David, with the valves and you can play every note on the scale. This would be more like a bugle, where you can only play certain notes on the scale. Bugles were used, or still, I guess, in military contexts, interestingly. But the trumpets, these two silver trumpets, would be used in a military context with the Israelites, but not exclusively. They would have other purposes as well, as we're going to observe. So in verse 3, if two trumpets played, I call it an even tone. I was grappling for some way to express something as opposed to an alarming sound. There will be a sound made by the trumpet that is that communicates an alarm, but there's a different sound they could make with the trumpet that didn't sound like that. So I called it an even tone, something that is softer perhaps, more pleasant. It says in verse 3, and when they shall blow with them, plural, two, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle, the congregation. So both trumpets blowing, the people could tell whether just one trumpet was being blown or two trumpets were being blown. They could tell the difference. If both trumpets are being blown with an even tone, that was a call for the general assembly of the people. Verse 4. If one trumpet was blown, even tone, that called for the assembly of the princes or the chiefs of each tribe only. Verse 4, if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. Now, in verses 5 and 6, one trumpet makes an alarm sound called for the tribes to begin journeying. So it says, when ye blow an alarm, this is a different type of sound coming from the trumpet, but it's just one trumpet making this sound. That's an indication that it's time to move. Verse 5, when ye blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. When ye blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. What isn't indicated here but is implied is that each successive blow of the one trumpet with the alarm sound, the next group will move. And we will see that, I think, next week. So, the sound for a general assembly of the congregation was to be different from the sound of an alarm. Verse 7, but when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. Now, I don't know what those sounds were like, but it was clearly distinct for the people. They understood. One trumpet, alarm, we move. One trumpet, not an alarm, we just simply gather together. Verse 9, two trumpets sounding an alarm, it's time for the military to mobilize. Verse 9, and if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, plural, too. And ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemy. So to begin a journey, one trumpet made this exact same sound. But if two trumpets made this exact same sound, it was time for the military to move. Verse 10. Two trumpets making an even tone was used during the feasts. Verse 10, also in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days, that is feast days, and in the beginning of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets, plural, both of them, and your burnt offerings and over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. So a sound that was distinct from an alarm and thus less harsh, more even-toned, was used during the feast days with the blowing of both trumpets. Would you please go to Jeremiah chapter 4? Through Jeremiah, God will use what we just looked at in Numbers chapter 10 as an illustration. That's why we're going to the book of Jeremiah. So he says in Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 5, declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the defensed cities. So blow the trumpet. Sound the warning of an invasion, he says. But people were wicked, verse 14 of chapter 4. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge with thee? Drop down to verse 17. Well, let's go to verse 16. Verse 16, make ye mention to the nations, behold, publish against Jerusalem that watchers come from a far country and give out their voice against the cities of Judah. As keepers of a field are they against her round about, because she hath been rebellious against me, saith the Lord. Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth unto thine heart. Here's the thing. Didn't matter that they blew the trumpet and sounded the alarm. They didn't understand. They had no understanding. Verse 19, my bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled, and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. As a result, go over to chapter 5 and verse 19. Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 19. It shall come to pass when ye shall say, wherefore doeth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Then shalt thou answer them, like as ye have forsaken me and served strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours. Declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. For ye fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Fear ye not me? Will ye not tremble at my presence? Verse 23. But this people hath a revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone, neither say they are in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God. They did not fear the Lord. Amos put it this way. If you would go over to Amos chapter 3 and verse 4. Amos chapter 3, verse 4. Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? In other words, the alarm is sounded by the trumpet, but they don't understand. They have lost the understanding of the distinction of the sounds. So that all of the sounds of the trumpet mean nothing to them. They hear the sound of the alarm, but it means nothing, and so they don't respond. because they have no understanding. Remember at Mount Sinai, the people refused to listen. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 19 says, "And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they have heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore." You remember that there was a trumpet sounding on the Mount Sinai, same time that God was speaking to them, and all of these other noises were coming about, the thunderings and the lightnings, and there was a sound of a trumpet. And so Hebrews 12, 19 refers to that. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 19, "They said unto Moses, speak thou with us and we will hear, but let not God speak us with us lest we die." Which is so ridiculous, because they had just heard God speak with them and they didn't die. So why couldn't they not hear God again? It wasn't that they couldn't. It was that they wouldn't. So in Exodus chapter 19, verse 16 through 19, God speaks, the trumpet sounds, the people heard, but they didn't want to listen. And throughout their years, they persisted. Jeremiah chapter 6. Verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, but ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken." And their refusal to listen became extreme. Go over to Jeremiah chapter 42. Jeremiah chapter 42 and verse 13. Nebuchadnezzar has carried the people away to Babylon, the city, and the temple are destroyed. There is a remnant remaining that was not taken. Jeremiah 42, verse 13, "But if ye say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell." Oh, so we're going to forsake God altogether, go to Egypt, and live happily ever after. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 2. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 2, "There were consequences for not heeding the sound of the trumpet." He says, "Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head." It's your own fault. You bring consequences upon your own head. Verse 5, "He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul." Has a smoke alarm ever gone off in your house? It's a piercing sound, isn't it? If your smoke alarm goes off in the middle of the night, and you know it is not because the battery is low, what should your reaction be? Do you just go and unplug the alarm so it stops making the sound? Or do you go to look and see where the smoke is coming from? Ezekiel's talking about people who hear the smoke alarm go off, but they just rather unplug it than take heed. What's the application for us today? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. There are those today who are professing Christianity but don't even understand the first thing about it. What are they preaching and teaching? A bunch of gobbledygook, I might describe it as. Some preachers, rather than focusing on the Bible itself, simply focus on social issues. Let's all get along together. How to be nice. How to get rich. Now, a lack of understanding is typical of unbelievers. Romans chapter 3, verse 11 says, there is none that understandeth. That's in part of the description of an unbeliever. But look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, just as Ezekiel said. It is also possible for believers to lack understanding and mimic unbelievers in the vanity of their mind. Ephesians chapter 4. Well, this is really a dangerous thing. Should never be characteristic of a Christian, but look what it says, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. By telling us not to do this indicates it is possible for us to do it. What is the vanity of a Gentile's mind? Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. It should never be characteristic of a believer, but it is possible. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3 says, through faith we understand. Think of that. Through faith we understand. Remember Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, through faith we understand. In other words, if you don't have faith, can you understand the word of God? No. The word of God will bring you faith, but without faith you can't understand the word of God. It's a cycle. Ezekiel 33, verses 3 through 4 says, "If when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his head." The trumpet sound is like the word of God. When they heard the alarm of the trumpet and didn't respond, maybe they didn't understand the distinction of sounds of the trumpet. Two trumpets, even tone, general assembly. One trumpet, even tone, assembly of the princes. One trumpet, an alarm sound, called for tribes to begin journeying. Two trumpets, an alarm sound, called for military mobilization. Two trumpets, even tone, used during the feast. Each of these had a distinct sound and meaning. If you didn't understand the meaning of the sounds and you didn't respond, there would be consequences. But for some, even if they understood what the sound meant, they had to believe. They had to believe the sound meant what it said. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7, he says, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." We need to consider what God says, because each word in the word of God is like a sound of a trumpet. It has a distinct meaning. There's a lot of people who don't believe that these days. That's one of the reasons for some of the so-called translations of the Bible. And when you read it, it sounds so much different than the Bible we use. Because they don't care about the distinction of the sounds. They generalize concepts. Well, if we get the general meaning of things, that's sufficient. No. Every word of God is pure. Every word in the Bible has a distinct sound. Every word in the Bible has a distinct meaning. Just as every sound of the trumpet had a distinct meaning, every word in the Bible has a distinct meaning, and we must pursue that. Consider what God has said so that the Lord can give us understanding in all things. Understanding is one of the gifts that God gives to us. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding." Did I say chapter 4? I think that's chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 18. Sorry about that. Typographical error. I'll have to talk to my secretary about that. Oh, I'm the secretary. Chapter 1, verse 18, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know." God wants you to know. He wants you to understand the distinction of meaning to each word in the Bible. Understanding begins with a willingness to listen. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?" The first thing you have to do is listen. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15, he says, "While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." We must have a soft heart as we listen to the Word of God so that He can use every distinct sound and meaning in the Word to mold us. And it is important that we receive the Word of God as it is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because that when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. So let's focus. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20, be not children in understanding, but in understanding be men. In our church services, understanding is superior to experience. Think about that. First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? In other words, what he's saying, when I pray with the Spirit, that's an experience for me, but it has no impact upon others. Praying with the understanding is superior. Understanding is superior to experience. Are you predisposed to listen to the Word of God? Can you recognize the truth when you hear it? Are you able to distinguish the sounds of truth from all other sounds in the world? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson. May we desire to understand. And with that understanding, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.